Good morning, everybody. About a couple weeks ago, I got an email from our family pediatrician. And the subject line of the email read, "We still want to see you." I wondered what it was about, so I skipped a few other emails and went right to it. And the email explained that now that the doctor's office is set up to take online appointments, don't forget to schedule your kid's annual checkup. Well, true story, I read the email and my first reaction was, we still have to do checkups? Like, can't that wait? I feel that way about a lot of things in my life right now. I want to hit the pause button on anything that feels like a task, especially if it's just a little bit hard or complicated. But the email explained that staying on track with these appointments is really important for our kids' care and their future and their well-being. And actually, this online format provides a unique opportunity for kids to build relationship with their doctors. So staying on track with the appointments kind of creates a unique opportunity to continue the care for their development and strengthen relationship with their doctor. And the more I've thought about it, the more I've realized that I think we are in a similar spot with Jesus right now. Staying connected to Jesus in the midst of all that is happening right now continues the care for our development and actually has opportunity to strengthen our relationship with Him. We've been spending our Sundays in 1 Peter for the past couple of weeks. And 1 Peter is this little letter between the Apostle Peter and a group of followers of Jesus. And this group of Jesus followers have been separated or scattered. And they are suffering. They're experiencing grief and isolation, they're disoriented, they're experiencing hardships, kind of trials of all kinds. My guess is that some of you experienced some of that list this week. And Peter acknowledges that kind of scattered state at the beginning of the letter. And then he talks about the new hope that followers of Jesus have because they've said yes to following him. And as he continues to encourage these followers of Jesus about that hope that they have planted in him, he gets to this part at the beginning of the letter and he says, therefore, some translations say, so now. It's as if Peter is saying, because you have that hope rooted in you as a gift of saying yes to Jesus, don't forget what that means. And here's what Peter says in 1 Peter 1, 13 through 16. Therefore, your minds must be clear and ready for action. Place your confidence completely in what God's kindness will bring you when Jesus Christ appears again. Because your children who obey God don't live the kind of lives you once lived. Once you lived to satisfy your desires because you didn't know any better. But because the God who called you is holy, you must be holy in every aspect of your life. Scripture says, be holy because I am holy. And we'll move a few verses to chapter 2 where it says, so get rid of every kind of evil, every kind of deception, hypocrisy, jealousy, and every kind of slander. Desire God's pure word as newborn babies desire milk, and then you will grow in your salvation. Certainly you've tasted that the Lord is good. Be holy. Peter is this mentor, this teacher, this friend, and he knows how the followers of Jesus have been scattered and all the trials and hardships that they're experiencing. And so he writes them this letter, I imagine, to encourage, to strengthen, maybe to buoy them. Can you imagine finding a letter in your mailbox tomorrow? Like, what would you want your letter to say? if I think about it for myself, I probably would want a letter that said something like, "Dear Renee, I know this is complicated. I know there's been a lot of unexpected variables in your life right now. I'm praying that this is over soon. Hang in there!" Exclamation point. Maybe underline, "Hang in there." Be holy is very different than "hang in there." Scattered suffering does not withdraw God's instructions to us. It does not suspend our formation or pause our healing. Crisis does not separate us from the work that God wants to do in us. This moment right here is a part of our story with God. And God wants to form us right now in the midst of all of this. And I know that can be really hard to imagine, but if God worked with dust and breath in the beginning, surely He can create something beautiful using the ingredients of grief and isolation, discouragement, disappointment, and upheaval. And be holy feels kind of intimidating at the beginning. Like when you take a first pass at it, you wonder, how could I ever do that? How could I ever live into that instruction? But Peter breaks it down for us. And the first thing he says is, have a clear mind that is ready for action. Currently, our minds are really full of noise. We are overthinking, overfunctioning, overpanicking, overplanning, over whatever, fill in the blank. Our minds are full of noise and opinions and backup plans. But when we're able to clear our minds from all of that noise and clutter, we can affix ourselves to God's truth again. When our minds are alert, we're able to actually remember what we know. We're able to remember the truth that lives in us. Scripture verses from the Bible come back to us. We're able to remember the places where we've experienced God, where we've learned from Him. Even the lyrics to the songs we sing to God rise up in us again. And we need those truths, right? We need those reminders as anchors, because if we don't have them, we slip back into old patterns. We hang in there and end up regressing significantly. We go back to old ways of coping, disengaging, numbing ourselves. We drink too much. We hide our behavior. We fantasize about a life that isn't this. We regress back into old patterns of relating with people, broken patterns of talking to ourselves poorly, even distorted ways of perceiving and interacting with God. It's like we go back to old clothes that have giant holes in them, clothes that have lost their shape, the ones that just hang on us, rather than going to the new clothes that we have that actually fit us really well, or keep us warm, or are just easier for us to wear. Maybe you've noticed some part of your life that slipped backwards a little bit. A part where you're using old muscle rather than new muscle, new healing that God has given you. I've certainly noticed that in my life. Slipping and regression happens in the midst of upheaval. That's why Peter wants to make sure that these followers of Jesus are really aware of that happening in their lives. That's why he says, don't go back to the kind of lives you once lived to satisfy your own desires because you didn't know any better. But because God, who is holy, has made you holy, or who has called you, you must be holy in every aspect of your life. Be holy in every aspect of your life. Be holy now, is how I hear it. Or be holy here. Or be holy even when you've slipped backwards a little bit. It doesn't mean be perfect. Holiness is this lifelong process that we live out with God. You know, when we say yes to following Jesus, And we begin to understand and have capacity to realize the new hope that has been given to us, it compels us to live in a new way. It compels us to turn our desires towards God rather than away from Him. We all have all sorts of desires, our own set of what we want or what we need or what we crave. And the process of being holy is turning those desires towards God rather than towards ourselves or away from God. And that work is never over. The more you do it, the deeper it goes. And God, who is holy, leads us towards holiness. When our minds are alert and engaged, we're able to recognize those places where God's leading us. We're able to recognize what He wants us to do with certain parts of our lives, or maybe different areas of our thinking or our functioning that He wants to heal. And then we're invited to be obedient, to be holy, to move towards Him in that place. It's daily obedience. Lord, I choose Your way right now. God, I will forgive, I will love, I will be patient with the person standing right in front of me. And Peter's pretty clear about it. If we're going to pursue holiness, we're going to have to clean house. We have to get rid of anything and everything that gets in our way of responding to that invitation, that imperative to be holy. Evil, deception, hypocrisy, jealousy, one by one, it has to go. Drawer by drawer, we've got to sort through what is good and what is not. Thankfully, we don't do this alone. God leads the process, and He has vision and design and purpose for us. You know, it's like walking into a house that's seen better days. Maybe there's a particular house that's really rough, right? It hasn't had a lot of care or work. Maybe parts of the ceiling are falling through, or there's broken windows, or floorboards have given way and there's giant holes in the floor. You know, an average person walks into that house and they say, "This is a disaster. It's going to require too much work to fix this." But a builder, a restorer, a designer walks into a place like that and says, "Oh, these bones are still good. Oh, I can't imagine what we can do with this space. I can't wait to get started. This is going to be so beautiful." That's how God looks at us. Even the parts of us that are really in rough shape. Because God is in the business of restoring and building and healing and creating new things in us all the time. And we participate with Him. We're like His side person, His, I don't know, apprentice, if you will. We follow Him room to room, doing what He asks, together working on each and every task. So that we might grow in our salvation, Peter says. For certainly you have tasted that the Lord is good. What if we didn't just survive all of this? What if this time and this place of scattered suffering led to growth? And what if that growth pointed to the goodness of God? Be holy. Be holy now. Be holy here. So that you might grow, church. So that you might mature. So that you might be whole. So that you might experience and taste the goodness of God.